Okay, we're going to call to order. It's 10:40. So welcome to the January meeting, and I'm going to ask Janine, our secretary, to do a verbal by-name roll call.
Grace Aaron.
Grace.
Grace Aaron, present. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron, present. Michael Adler.
Present.
Michael Adler, present. Alan Beek.
Present.
Alan Beek, present. Fred Blair.
Present.
Fred Blair, present. Jeanette Charles.
Jeanette Charles will be seated after we do the roll call, but she's on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay, on phone. So thank you.
Should she say present now, Madam Chair?
That's fine. She's present.
Sandy Childs.
She'll be on the phone. She's not feeling well.
Still recovering.
So she's not present.
Right, not present. Bella DeSoto. Bella DeSoto, not present. Jan Goodman. I know, I said not. Jan Goodman.
For Sandy.
Your call? Sorry?
Yeah. Sandy's not on the phone yet.
Okay.
Jan Goodman.
Present.
Jan Goodman, present. Eric C. Jacobson.
Present.
Eric C. Jacobson, present. Avelia Jones.
Present.
Avelia Jones, present. Ali Lexa. Ali Lexa, present. Barbara Marbach.
Present.
Barbara Marbach, present. Michelle Manos.
Present.
Michelle Manos, present. Michael Novick.
Present.
Michael Novick, present. James Osborne.
Present.
James Osborne, present. Nancy Perlman.
Here.
Nancy Perlman, present. Point of order.
I believe Nancy Perlman has disqualified herself from membership as a candidate for public office. Whether she filed or not, last night she passed out a card saying Nancy Perlman, the Los Angeles Community College District Board of Trustees, vote November 2020, re-election committee number 126-5596. She filed something with somebody raising funds for her re-election. She is a candidate for public office. This has been two public events in a row. She was at the county board, county Democratic Party, a nominating convention, and was introduced from the podium as a candidate for the Board of Trustees. She stood up and raised her hand. Last night she was passing these out. I believe she is no longer qualified to be a member, and I raise the point of order from the chair.
May I address this, please?
Please.
Point of order. Have we finished the roll call?
No. This is out of order.
This is point of order. Excuse me. It's a point of order on the roll call because she was called to the roll and she's no longer a member by virtue of being a candidate.
I just called for a ruling of the chair whether the point of order on the roll call is proper.
It does make sense to me that in order to have a proper roll call, if Nancy Perlman is no longer going to be a seated member of the board, that perhaps that would change our role. As it exists now, and our ability to meet quorum potentially. So I will hear the point of order and hear a response from Nancy.
This issue was addressed when I first got elected to this board last year. Look at the minutes last year. We addressed this very same issue. I have not filed for that office. Therefore, I am not a legal candidate. The filing is in July. I have made it very clear that when I file and get on the ballot, to be on the ballot, I will resign from this board because the bylaws say that a candidate cannot. The fact that I have been proposing that this is what I want to do, I want to climb Mount Everest. I want to have a teaching job. I want to have lots of things. The wishes of what I'm planning to do does not disqualify me. The legality is such that I have been running for office for 30 years. I was in office, and therefore, legally, I maintain a re-election committee, but that does not make me a legal candidate for the position. So therefore, by these bylaws, I qualify to be on this board.
I'll ask a question of our board member, regarding the discussion here. Are you actively campaigning for this position, Ms. Brahman?
It's irrelevant. I'm actively campaigning to do lots of things in my life.
The bylaws don't state that you have to have filed. The bylaws state that you have to be running.
No, and you have to be a candidate. I am not legally a candidate. I am proposing with my card and with talking to people to support me. Everybody who runs for office starts their campaign years before they plan to run for office. They are not a candidate until they file for that office.
I do have a copy of the bylaws.
Yes.
So, Ms. Berman, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you're going to adhere to the bylaws and then not adhere to the bylaws. You have a re-election committee FEC number, which is 126-5596, which makes you, you are raising money for your candidacy. And you are passing out cards as a candidate, and this has been upheld throughout the network. Whether it was in Texas, whether it was a PNB member that was running as a candidate with the Green Party, or whether it was in New York where somebody ran as a candidate as the Green Party and had to resign. We had two instances here of people being placed on commissions and had to resign. So, you can't have it both ways, Ms. Perrin. You kind of gave yourself away right here, and then you have a re-election committee, which means that she has a financial stake, and that's another provision in the bylaws that also disqualifies her. So, I think that Michael's point of order is well taken, and I hope that that we do what we have to do. The difficult decision is to have Ms. Perlman step down.
So, in order to restate what you were saying, you're saying that there's a precedent for her candidacy to be recognized in the current form that it is?
Yes.
And then, I don't want to have a lot of back and forth, so we've heard
you
from...
You have to understand
we've heard from
legality.
Michael, we've heard from Nancy,
no,
we've
you
heard
haven't,
from Lauren,
I haven't responded
and we'll hear
to that.
From Grace.
I have not responded to that.
Respond.
You have to understand the legality of money, the legality of a bank account. You have to have
Grace
that.
Is
that
recognized.
Doesn't make you a candidate.
Okay. In this regard, there is a bit of a question or ambiguity in the bylaws on the word candidate. Now, this has been taken up before by at KPFK on past local station boards. There are two candidates in particular where it was adjudicated that even though they were actively campaigning for three that I can think of off the top of my head, where people were actively campaigning for political office, but they were not removed from the local station board until they filed their candidacy papers. The most recent one was Lance Simmons. He was actively campaigning for a role in Malibu City Council. He did not resign until he actually filed his papers. Right before that, there was Dr. Paul Song, who everyone knew he was campaigning and raising money to run for the position of insurance commissioner. He was allowed to remain on this board until he actually filed his candidacy papers. The another precedent in the past in this LSB was Donna Warren, who was campaigning at least a year before she ran for a Green Party position of, I think it was Secretary of State. So it was well known, she was campaigning, she was visibly campaigning. She did not leave the local station board until she filed her candidacy
okay.
papers. That is a legal precedent, and if Nancy wanted to sue Pacifica, she'd probably win on the basis of
right.
precedent.
Thank yeah. you. So it sounds to me like, as with many right. things with Pacifica, there is a bit of muddied waters and precedent to be argued on both sides. It's my opinion that this body deserves to vote on what we're facing right now. I don't think one person should make the decision. I think it should be a decision that the majority will be comfortable with. Is that a piece?
Sure.
It sounds to me like there are potential legal liabilities if on either side of that vote. If you vote for it, if you vote against it, and I don't feel like I have sufficient legal advice about what stands to make a...
Yeah, then you could abstain from the vote if you're not comfortable taking a stand because you feel that you don't have enough information. But we do have to address this, being that it was brought up... It was brought up by a seated member, and we do have to figure this out so that we can go forward with the other votes that we have today, making sure that everyone who is present and seated on the board is, you know, a legitimate member of the board. Briefly.
Considering the legal potential liability, I'd call for a roll call vote.
Okay. Does anybody have any objection to a roll call vote?
It could be requested.
Okay.
So we need to finish the roll call.
Let's finish the roll call.
Do I go back and acknowledge that Bella DeSoto, who was not present, is now present, or should I?
Let's go forward from where we were and then go back to check on Sandy and recognize Bella.
Okay, so Nancy Perlman is considered present for the moment.
So they're back to doing the roll call.
Yeah, so we'll go back, yes, and we'll go back to roll call.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes present. Paul Roberson?
Present.
Paul Roberson present. Mansoor Sabah?
Hazar.
Mansoor.
That's in Farsi, that's called Hazar.
Oh, okay, present. Oscar Uloa?
Oscar? Oscar Leo is a minute away. Let me, so I guess not.
He's on his way.
He's on his way, yeah.
Okay, so he's still, for right now, he's not
he's
present.
Polina
Vasiliev?
Present.
Polina Vasiliev, present. Beth Van Gunten?
Present.
Beth Van Gunten, present. Kiana Williams?
He's on the phone.
Kiana's on the phone.
Yeah.
Great. Kiana Williams is on the phone.
So
Sandy Charles on the phone. Sandy said present.
Call Sandy.
Sandy's here on the phone.
Said present.
Do you need arrival of Bella DeSoto?
19, 20, 21.
She's counting. One
22.
Second. And then call
22,
Sandy and Bella
it's
again.
Just, okay. Sandy Childs.
Talk to Sandy.
Okay.
Phone. Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Bella DeSoto, present. Okay.
Point
and then
one,
we have Oscar.
I'm sorry.
Do we want to ask for Oscar again?
I thought you were done.
Oscar's on the phone?
No, he's not. He's on his way because he's within however many miles allowed by the bylaws. It doesn't make sense for, you know, he should. Yeah, he'll
so
be here in a minute.
23.
Okay. So we do have quorum.
Uh-huh. Just a point of order. Before uh-huh. we go to a vote, the new staff member, Janine.
Just give me a second.
I just want a ruling of the chair whether she's on the board or has to be
I'm
here.
Literally about to see her.
Okay. All right.
So we do have Jeanette Charles on the phone, and she was not present during the seating of the new members last time. However, she is a newly elected member of this board. So let's welcome the new member, Jeanette Charles, who is on the phone, and consider her seated.
Which phone is she on?
She's on my phone.
Okay. We need a chart for all the phones.
We need to have a phone.
Yeah,
I'm here on the phone. Put the mic by the phone.
I am very honored to be here. Thanks to folks and to contribute to the long-term independent reading school. My work is very international, so I didn't come quite often, but I am coming to make more of an effort to be present for these meetings. And I'm looking forward to working with folks, getting to know people in person, some folks I know, some folks I have yet to meet in person.
Okay. Thank you.
So she's, is that just a point of information? She's infirmed or more than 50 miles away?
Yeah, she's on her way to Venezuela.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Have a safe trip.
So it's been brought to my attention that since the topic at hand regarding Ms. Perlman's seat on the board is a legal liability, that we have to go into closed session.
There's no need to go.
No?
Well, it is a legal liability.
Does that
record? Is it, Madam Chairman, have you recognized?
Yes, please.
I think our bylaws are strong enough to withhold any legal challenge. We have a leg to stand on in regards to this matter. And I think the fear tactic of saying that it's a legal liability is it's a little disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because I think the bylaws specifically state, regardless of Ms. Aaron's argument, the bylaws specifically state who is to be a board member and what disqualifies them as a board member.
Why is this being brought up when it's already been voted on? It was voted on last year. I see no reason to bring the same issue up. It's not valid to have this raised again.
I understand that's your perspective. However, we are in a new session. And the issue has been raised, and I'm going to ask that folks ask to be recognized in order to avoid crosstalk and to encourage and further the culture of respect that we are attempting to set here at this body. So please, I understand this personally affects you, but it would be wonderful if we could just all follow the same rules in asking to be recognized. And so, Michael, are you asking to be recognized?
Yes.
Okay, let's do just, 30 seconds, if we can, just to move through this. So 30 seconds for Michael, and then over here,
Jim
and Jan.
It was brought up last year because on the first email that Nancy Perlman sent to the body in her signature file, it said she was a candidate for the community college board. So she said, no, that was just, a statement. Her signature file wasn't anything public. She hadn't, was not a candidate. But there have been two public events at which she's been identified as a candidate. And to me, that means you're a candidate.
Thank you.
Jim? Just I can tell you at this point, as a matter of contract law, you can't use an ambiguity in the bylaws against somebody. If the bylaws are vague, okay, it's the problem of the board. The board has to clarify the bylaws. And I don't have a dog in this hunt, but I'm listening here. Nobody's quoted the bylaws that define the word candidate. And that works against the board. So if you're an aggrieved party in a contract and somebody's using a vague and ambiguous clause in a contract against you, a court's going to rule against the party that had the responsibility to clear up the ambiguity in the contract. So that's the board's problem. So, just looking at the issue superficially, unless the bylaws define, no, it has nothing to do with what the candidate says. Until the candidate, presumably, self-nominates herself according to the legal definition of what a candidate is for the position that you're running for.
Time.
So we all...
Thank you.
I have a point of order, Chair. For a matter of clarification for Mr. Osborne, Ms. Paulina Vassalia is going to look up a session of the bylaws that he's quoting. So I would suggest that...
I have it if you want me to read
please.
It.
Okay, sure.
Microphone.
So, however, that no person who holds any elected or appointed public office at any level of government, federal, state, or local, or is a candidate for such office, shall be eligible for election to the position of delegate. Oh, I'm sorry, this is delegate, but I think it's exactly the same.
Yeah,
we are
delegates.
For LSB.
Could you read the first sentence again?
I'll go from the very beginning of the paragraph so that you get context. Any listener, sponsor, member in good standing, except radio station management personnel or foundation management personnel or staff members, may be nominated for the position of listener, sponsor, delegate for the Federal Foundation radio station with which
she, he is affiliated by the signatures of 15 listener sponsor members in good standing who are also affiliated with the radio station, provided, however, that no person who holds any elected or appointed public office at any level of the government, federal, state, or local, or is a candidate for such office shall be eligible for election to the position of delegate.
Thank you. So, Madam Chair, I have a procedural point of order.
There's one more sentence here.
Let me just read the last sentence.
A delegate shall be deemed to have resigned the position of delegate if she, he becomes a candidate for public office or accepts a political appointment during his or her term as a delegate. This restriction shall not apply to civil service employment by government agencies.
Okay, because this matter, exact matter, was taken up last year by the LSB, and it was deemed that Nancy did not fall into this bylaws category, a motion, the same motion being brought up now, would take a two-thirds vote because there was no notice. To rescind a prior motion, a prior decision, per Robert's rules, either takes notice of the entire board beforehand, notice beforehand, in, you know, to the board, or if there was no notice, it requires a two-thirds vote to rescind a prior resolution.
Okay, thank
just
you
bringing
for that.
Up a Robert's rules point.
Michael, confirming that there was no prior notice until you brought the motion today.
I raised it in the governance committee. We called her. She said she wasn't a candidate because she hadn't filed. Last night is when I got this card, so there was no notice until I saw the card in which she identified herself as a candidate and that she had a re-election committee.
Okay, so I want to hear from Jan, and then I think we are going to move into a roll call vote and see if we can't resolve this matter as quickly as possible. So, Jan, you're recognized.
Yes. So there.
Is it mine, Jan?
Excuse me. Okay. Someone pointed out that this. Someone said that this is a new board, is somehow implying that, you know, we start all over everything because we had an election. That is not true according to Robert's Rules of Order, California law. This is a continuous board. The local station board is a continuous board, just as the Pacifica National Board. Any board is a continuous board. It changes membership when new people are put on and old people are taken off, but the board itself is the same board. So saying, oh, that was, you know, another board is not factually or legally correct. It's the same board.
Okay.
Even if it was 50 years ago.
Thank you. And I think that would, you know, sort of underscore what Grace was saying, which is that in the event that we take the roll call vote, we will need to have a two-thirds majority in order to overturn a previous board decision. So the vice chair would like to be recognized.
Yeah, for the bylaws, it clearly says that a delegate shall be deemed to have resigned the position of delegate if he or she becomes a candidate for such a public office. And as far as your candidacy is concerned, well, I don't agree with that. I mean, kind of premature for the clapping. But as far as candidacy is concerned, from my impression, it would mean that you have to sign documents, you have to file paperwork, you have to get the necessary signatures. So until that happens, like Kanye West said he's going to run for president, Cardi B said she's going to run for Congress. I could say I want to run for president in 2020, but until I actually file the paperwork, I'm not a candidate. So I don't think it's really ambiguous. She's not a candidate.
So we will take 30 seconds from either side. So, Lawrence and Nancy, would you like a final opportunity to make a statement in 30 seconds? Okay, and then we're going to move into the vote, and then we're going to move on with our lives. Lawrence.
As a director of the Pacific National Board, I am going to seek a legal opinion from our, of our Pacifica Council in regards to this matter. So I believe that it may be premature to take a vote at this point, because I think we need a legal opinion, not just from the lawyers that are on this board, but from the Council of the Pacific National Board.
Well, respectfully, Michael's the one who brought the motion, so you can ask him to withdraw it and get your opinion.
Well, that's just what I wanted to say, James.
It's up to you. I mean,
okay.
Michael brought the motion down.
I didn't bring a motion. I raised the point of order.
So is there a motion?
So there's no motion.
I would just like a point of order. Nancy, when do you intend to file?
July 2020. And the concept is, as has been explained by some of the legal minds here and others, the term candidate has multiple. It's a term that's used to imply the intention of what you're going to do. But there's a legal term, which is your candidate when you file. And so there's where there's a confusion between what he's saying. I made it very clear that I am not a candidate because I haven't filed, but my intention is to be a candidate and to run, and that I will resign in July 2020. And that's what I told the person who called me after the governance committee. And so I think it's very critical that you understand these distinctions of how we use terminology.
Thank you. So it's my understanding that we do not have a motion on the table.
Chair, it's up to you whether to uphold the phone or not.
Well, I'm going to ask if someone would like to make a motion regarding this, and if we are not entertaining a motion, then we will not take a vote.
I make a motion that we do take the vote, please, Madam Chair.
Are there any?
What's the motion?
Why?
And the motion is to vote whether to either remove Ms. Nancy Perlman or not.
For what?
Given the bylaws of the Pacifica,
there's no second on the motion.
Whether or not she intends to file.
Is there a second on the motion?
Nobody's seconding it.
So, lacking a second, then the motion fails, and we will not take a vote. However, I would entertain an update from Mr. Reyes after consulting with the Pacifica Council.
I will, board. I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
The roll call.
We have completed the roll call. Nancy,
yes, we did.
Nancy is marked as present. So, do you want to call Nancy?
Nancy Perlman.
I'm still here.
All right.
Nancy Perlman, present.
I have no idea why they hate me so much.
Okay, no, we're not doing that. We are not doing that.
Principles before personalities, Ms. Perlman.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. Okay, so one small issue with the agenda that you see in front of you, that section 6 should read public comment number 2. And we will be convening the delegate assembly between sections 5 and 6, in case that's not clear by the agenda. So we'll do closing business number 5, convene the delegates assembly, and then we will come back to open session for public comment and adjournment. Are there any questions?
I have
one right here, and then Jan.
Okay. There's one problem that I've found that since I've been on the board 8 or 9 years, whenever we voted on bylaws amendments, it's always been in the delegate assembly, not in the LSB. And there's a technical reason for that, that the function of the delegate assembly, the functions of the delegate assembly are two, there's two functions. One is to vote on, directors, and one is to vote on bylaws amendments. Because the delegates assembly is a superior to the board of directors. The local station board, on the other hand, is a subcommittee of the board of directors, and it has another, it deals with everything except voting on directors and bylaws. So voting on the bylaws in the LSB meeting violates the Pacifica bylaws. And I leave it up to the wisdom of the board to figure out how to deal with this. It's a technical point.
Okay, thank you. There was Jan.
I don't know whether I wanted to address when public comment number two is placed.
Okay.
Our number. After closing business doesn't seem like an appropriate.
This should be number one.
So I wanted to address where comment number two is placed. It seems that it's placed at the very end of our agenda, and that is not appropriate because of closing comments. I mean, the public comment people normally want to address what's on the agenda. So I'm hoping to move it up to some place that is more appropriate so that they can comment about what it is that we're about to do.
So in the governance committee, we did set 20 minutes of public comment in the first public comment section in order to provide that space for the public to be able to comment on everything that is seen here. There is a separate public comment during the delegate assembly, which is not technically part of the LSB, and then a closing public comment in order to fulfill our duties to have 30 minutes of public comment during the LSB. So are you making a motion to move the second public comment, the LSB public comment?
Well, I have a question, and I don't know the answer to this, and maybe somebody else does, and that is that my impression has always been that the public comment can be during either the delegates portion or the local station board portion, that it doesn't have to be only during the local station board portion. And I don't know exactly what the bylaws say about that, but certainly for our purposes, the public, we're the same people. The public is going to be the same people. So I don't think that we need to have a second public comment. We don't have to have 30 minutes of public comment during the LSB and then some other amount during the local station board. And if somebody feels that we need to, that it has to be during the quote LSB, then I suggest that we have a little a transition from delegate meeting to LSB during the middle of the delegates meeting, and then.
What's the point? I'm confused. I don't understand what this guy is trying to say.
I'm just trying to have the public be able to make comments during the time prior to when we're actually meeting. And not at the very end, because that just seems like a waste of time. But if nobody else sees that as an issue, then I don't care.
So
my motion would just be to make this public comment under number 8 the balance of whatever we don't use up during public comment number 1, and to drop number 6. As a public comment period, because that'll be after we're, at the very end, we're not going to take any more business.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with allowing the public to comment on what they have just witnessed. But if you have a motion, we'll entertain a second if there is one.
Okay. So I just move to have public comment number 2. Be 20 minutes of public comment number 1. Public comment number 2 be 10 minutes. Public comment number 1 be 20 minutes, and drop public comment that's listed under section 6 of the LSB agenda.
It is 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's it's. So you want to remove the public comment during the delegates assembly?
No, I want to keep that one. I want to drop the one that's under number six during the LSB agenda.
So your motion is that we remove the public comment number two from the LSB agenda.
Correct. Then we have 20 minutes during under number three, and then we have 10 minutes under number eight.
We have 40 minutes technically.
That's 30 minutes.
20, 10, and 10. So that's 40.
I think she wants to move that 10 over here and make that 20.
So under your motion, would we have 30 or 40 minutes of public comment total?
30.
So remove public comment number two, right now scheduled to take place after we reconvene the LSB.
Yes.
Okay. So that's your motion.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
You'll second it.
I wish to amend, Madam Chair. Can I be amended?
Lawrence?
So seeing that because this is a significant critical meeting that we're having today, in regards to the restated bylaws that are being proposed by the Pacifica Restructuring Project, and also a vote on which directors we're going to select, I'd like to extend public comment another 20 minutes, so make it a total of 50 minutes.
Second.
For public comment.
Second.
Due to the importance of, I think listeners should be able to weigh in regards to the bylaws and also who their directors are going to be.
So there's one motion to reduce public comment by 10 minutes, bringing it to 30 total, and there's one motion to increase public comment, bringing it to 1 hour total.
No,
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
It's currently at 40 minutes, the way the agenda is laid out.
Yes, well, 20 would be an hour, right?
Well, 20 would be an hour.
20 seconds.
So the...
Actually, he was amending the motion to...
Our code would...
Actually, Lawrence was attempting to amend the motion that would have reduced it to 30 minutes, and so that would be a total of 50 minutes.
So, Jan can either accept or decline the amendment as offered.
I don't have any say over it. I think that the Robert's rules say the body. We take that first, and then if that is passed, then we take that becomes the main motion, and then we vote on that as the main motion. If it doesn't pass.
Or we can leave it at 40 minutes if everyone would withdraw their, discussion regarding this.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal.
Let's just go back.
Okay. So we need to also address Fred's comment regarding whether or not the vote for the bylaw amendment needs to be in closed session.
No. May I correct that? May I correct it? It's not closed session. It needs to be in the delegate
assembly. During the delegate assembly, I apologize.
Well, what I propose is that we discuss the bylaws amendments in the LSB, and we have public comments, but we move the actual vote on the bylaws amendments to the delegates assembly.
Second.
Recognized.
I'd like to speak to that. The problem I see with that is that the matter that we're voting on is before an Alameda County Superior Court. The order of that court explicitly gave the option to the National Board to authorize the LSBs at each of the five stations to weigh in on the bylaws by votes of the LSB. And in order for that to have happened, the National Board was required to, quote-unquote, strategically vote to approve the bylaws, which they did, with a proviso statement stating that it was one of the worst ideas that has ever come down the pike in Pacifica history. But their whole purpose was to enable, in compliance with the court's dictates, the ability of each LSB, not delegates assembly, each LSB to vote yea or nay on the bylaws. Four out of our five sister stations have voted it down. Three to date?
So, if I can...
I would very much like to keep the vote where it is. Now, if procedurally we're worried about some technicality, I have no objection to repeating the vote in the delegates assembly section, in effect do it twice, but I want the LSB of KPFK to be on record as an LSB voting on the bylaws per the court's order, very narrowly in compliance with what the court said.
So we're going to move to keeping our comments to 30 seconds. I have a question for any of the directors who might be more familiar. Do we know whether or not the previous stations who have voted on the bylaws amendment have voted during delegates assembly or LSB? Lawrence, do you have an answer to that question?
Maybe Grace may be able to answer more, but it's usually done in the delegate assembly. But I don't object to Eric's proposal of it being voted twice. This way we could send a clear message as to our position.
I second that.
Yeah. Will Kirk.
Yes.
Is there anything in the bylaws or law or any place else that would prevent us from holding a joint session of both?
We can.
It's the same set of people. We're in the same place.
I don't think we can wear both hats at the same time. I think we have to.
But is there basis for that in the bylaws? Is there anything in the bylaws that would prevent us from doing that? Because that would solve that problem. Then you can get one vote that would come out of a session of both.
Legally, I think they have to be two separate meetings. But I concur with Eric that you should have. We can have two votes. It should only take 5 minutes to vote.
Correct.
Just repeat the vote.
When you get two different numbers.
I would like to make that as a formal motion that we take two votes, that we have discussion about it, full discussion, in the whichever vote comes first, and that we have no further discussion when we take the second vote.
Okay. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Any objections? Okay, so the motion passes. And so we will add into, Jan, since it's your motion, would you like to make a suggestion where in the delegates assembly we take that vote?
Are we going to have the,
We are going to have the public comments session during the delegates assembly.
Are we going to
handle it?
If the vote on the bylaw amendment comes first in the LSB, which appears to, then I say that we have the discussion and the vote number four in the LSB as presently indicated, and then that the number... that it come after we set time to adjourn and before the PNB director candidate nominations.
So between D and E.
It would be 1DA, 1D1 or something like that.
Okay, so between D and E.
Between D and E.
Okay.
So that we just get that out of the way and
okay. Move on. That's fine with me. So we will, you know, Jan's motion was approved. We're going to add in the vote by the delegates, a second vote on the bylaws amendment after we set the time to adjourn the delegates assembly, but before we take the PNB director candidate nominations.
Can we refer to it? I could just interject as a repeat vote as opposed to a second vote. We're doing it to comply with the possible... technical necessity
yes.
of doing
well,
it.
Let's just call it a vote.
Yes.
Whatever.
We can call it a reaffirmation. We can call it whatever we want. So we're going to move on.
The motion is with no discussion.
No discussion during the delegates assembly. All the discussion will take place just as soon as we get through the call to order and the opening business. So we're going to go ahead and take a... we're going to go ahead and... do the approval of the proposed agenda. So given the adjustments that we've made to the agenda, Do we have an approval or any objections to approving this agenda? Seeing no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved. And do we have excused absences?
We're just assuming it's not on the agenda.
Are there any excused absences on the table? Okay.
Is Oscar still isn't here, right?
Correct.
So Oscar an excused absence.
Here, we're passing this along. This is lovely. Thank you to whoever brought this. Okay, so everybody has a copy of the minutes from the previous meeting?
No.
I don't know.
Digitally, yes, and then there's a few revised.
Water disturbance in the call.
What's going on here?
It's the mission statement. It's fine.
There
what
are
is it?
The mission statement.
Two versions of the minutes floating around. One it has revised on it, and that's the one that I revised here and sent out just before
revision
the meeting
two.
Started.
Excuse me,
Jenny.
Can you pass?
Here's some minutes over here. Come down.
I'm going to revise.
Are they coming?
Thank you.
Who has the copies of the revised minutes? Revision two.
You get my error correction.
Okay, and everybody has them via email from Janine.
I'm sending it again now.
She's sending it again right now.
Bella? An announcement real quick.
Yes.
I brought food, so we will have food to eat later.
Thank you. Sustenance as we get through this. Thank you. So do we need to do anything further, or can we go ahead and approve the minutes from last meeting?
I have one error correction.
No, that's not the revised version here.
Are there more copies of the revised version?
I have like five that are floating around, and it just was sent again digitally.
Nothing was attached.
So did you you're just sending it again right now?
I did, yeah.
It's okay, out. So you should have another email.
Okay, since then.
I have a correction to the existing minutes. I was not present. I called in for the first hour or so.
That was a lot of the last meeting where we had people that called in that were also excused absences,
okay, so
like
we'll
Sandy Childs. But I don't know what to do about that.
I requested excused absence because I wasn't sure I'd be able to call in.
Okay.
But if you look at the roll up here.
And also there was an informal vote of the last two people, so he's probably...
Everyone else who called in was not called
an excused absence.
So basically, you'd like it to be recognized that you both had an excused absence for the portion that you were not here and that you were present for later.
I'd like that she called in.
Okay.
Where she called roll, and she notes everyone else who called in. But
okay, we can make that adjustment.
Madam, small adjustment.
Consulting with my other new member, Mr. Osborne, we appear not to be receiving these emails that are being referenced.
So you're not on the list.
Apparently not.
I haven't gotten anything.
Can you check with Michael about that?
Adler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we just send
a sign-in list?
Why don't we do a sign-in list with people's emails?
Here's a signing list right here.
We can forward it right now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yes, and Janine has been in communication with Jonathan and with Michael. I know I myself was not getting the proper emails or able to respond for several months after being seated, so this is an infrastructure problem that we need to... Exactly. This is an infrastructure problem that we need to address. If we can can get to actual business, then perhaps we can do that. So with the adjustment... made regarding the members' presence at the meeting last time. Are there any other adjustments that need to be made to the minutes to the previous meeting? Ms. DeSoto.
Madam Chair, regarding the Finance Committee, there is a motion, and it was a resolution, and the language was worked out. It was sent out a day or so ago by Denise Braun, the Secretary. From the Finance Committee, and that needs to be addressed today.
Regarding the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting?
No.
Okay, so we are on 1D, approval of minutes from the previous meeting. Seeing no more adjustments that need to be made,
okay,
then we're going to go ahead and approve the minutes from the previous meeting with the one adjustment that we made. We are now currently, it is 11:30, and so we need to set a time to adjourn. I'll entertain a motion. Please take a look at the things we have to cover today, and I'll entertain a reasonable motion for a time to adjourn. Ms. DeSoto.
3:00.
Yikes.
First of all, we have to be out of here at 3:00 typically. I don't know if there is another meeting scheduled, but we have the time up until 3:00.
Okay.
And are you asking for a time to adjourn the LSB meeting to go into the delegates assembly?
No, this would be to adjourn the entire dual session. And so I would prefer to entertain a motion adjourning at 2:30 with the option to extend, given the point that we do actually have to be cleaned up and out of here at 3:00. Perhaps we can wrap up a little early. Does anybody have a motion for 2:30? Okay, thank you. A second?
Second.
Any objections for 2:30? Okay, 2:30.
Madam Secretary,
yes.
May I be recognized? Oscar Rio is here. Just so that.
Excellent. Thank you. Oscar just arrived.
Oscar Uloa.
Oyoa.
But did he just leave the room?
No, he's
right
here.
Oh, okay. Hi. Oscar's present.
He was on the phone.
Yeah, he was on the phone.
Okay. So let's move on. We're going to go ahead with a presentation of the bylaws amendment. And I have here 13 bullet points that were developed as a summary, mostly by Grace, with input from Mansoor, who is one of the authors of the proposed bylaws amendment. And so if the body will have it, I will go ahead and read through these 13 bullet points. Okay. And everybody also should have a copy of the 19 pages of amendments in their full legal form. Okay, here we go. One, the new bylaws would eliminate all local station boards, along with their role in recommending candidates for and annually evaluating the general manager and program director or reviewing the budget. Current LSB members would be merged with the station's community advisory boards, and the CABs are purely advisory. Two, the current Pacifica National Board would be eliminated, and 6 pre-selected at-large delegates would be appointed immediately to a new national board if there is a positive vote of the membership adopting these proposed bylaws. 3, the 6 at-large delegates are charged with hiring an interim executive director who will be holding elections for a single director from each of the 5 Pacifica stations. According to the proposed bylaws, these elections should take place within a few months of the new bylaws taking effect. The board would then consist of 11 directors. In the interim, approximately until May 2020, the 6 at-large directors can exert their full power of the national board. 4, the quorum necessary to validate any election, including a vote to sell major assets of the Pacifica Foundation, would be reduced from a 10% vote of the membership to 5%. 5, the donation required to become a member of Pacifica is redoubled from $25 to $50. The volunteer membership requirement increases 5 times from 3 hours to 15 hours. The bylaws provision allowing local station boards to issue hardship waivers of the requirement on a case-by-case basis would be eliminated.
No,
6. Staff members would be barred from participation on the board under the proposed bylaws revision. 7. The term of a director is extended from 1 year until 3 years. The term limit is set at 2 consecutive terms, but service for less than 1.5 years. Completing an unexpired term as a replacement does not constitute a term. 8. Elections for a single director from 1 or 2 of the 5 stations will take place every year. 9. After the initial selection of 6 named at-large directors, as terms expire later, at-large directors will be selected by other directors. That one's wordy. 10. If a national board director resigns, is removed for cause, or is recalled or removed by a member vote, the vacancy is filled by a vote of the other board members. 11. Station director members of the board, elected by the station's members, cannot serve as chair or secretary of the national board. Only at-large directors are eligible. 12. National board committees would no longer be required to have members from all five stations and could have as few as two members. 13, and final, the new bylaws can be amended by a two-thirds vote of the directors present at a meeting when the amendment has had proper prior notice. These are the summary bullet points as they exist. As I said, you have a full copy of the legal language in front of you. We will now move into a discussion where we will have a pro speaker for 5 minutes or less, a con speaker for 5 minutes or less, and then we will take member comments in 60 to 90 seconds for 30 minutes. So I'm going to invite the pro speaker to make the pro statement. Is that Mansoor?
Sure.
Yes, recognized.
So we'd like to split opponent vote or opponent presentation between Grace and Michael Novick. So it just won't be one person.
Okay, so the opposing side will share the time between two members opposing.
Yes.
That's fine with me if there are no objections. So we'll go 5 minutes. Yes?
May I be recognized? The 13 points that you read, who was the author?
Microphone, please.
Who was the author of the 13 points that you just read?
They were initially developed in the governance committee led by Grace, and they were emailed to you for your input and commentary, which were included in what I read.
So that's part of the opponents.
That was during the governance committee, so that was not considered a bias document.
Oh, I understand that. But
so you have 5 minutes to make your case for the bylaws amendment. We're going to start time now.
Thank you. Can I get that mic?
Yeah. Sure. Can we start his time when he gets that figured out?
Okay, so there's nothing new that you haven't heard before. The new bylaws that we proposed, it's a long process that we came up with. We listened to previous executive director Maxie Jackson III, who proposed to have more efficient national board. And it came a couple of years ago, 2017, the assistance to Attorney General of California on a phone call to PNB recommended in nice words that it's best to reduce the number of representation on the national board and as well to get community advisory board going rather than local station board. And then our audit company has recommended the same thing. Our finance company has recommended the same thing. The California Corporation Code for Nonprofit Organization, it gets amended once every 3 years. So this bylaw has been in effect, the current bylaws that we are using, been in effect for almost 20 years. The at least minimum 6 changes, amendments have been made to California Corporation Code for Nonprofit Organizations. And there is nothing secret about any of this. There would be a still an election from each radio station that would go up. So you still would be voting for one person, that members would vote for one representative on national board. The at-large people are not here to gobble up the stations, are not here to destroy the foundation, are not here to sell anything. These are all lies that has been in the can for like 20 years. Every time we want to change anything, the red shirt would be waved in the air that they're going to do this and do that. And here's the two lies that's been on the air. We're going to sell WBAI and we're going to sell WPFW. This is the hardest process to achieve. Let's say if everything goes smooth, let's say if FCC agrees, that sale has to come to the membership to vote on. So it's not anything easy to do so. Number two, just the process of selling a radio station might take you 3, 2, 4 years, depending on who wants to buy it, the legal contracts. So these are all scarecrow, these are all fear tactics to be used, that they are a clique of people, they want to pocket the sale of WBAI and destroy the foundation. It's none of that. The bylaws, we got a professor and a lawyer whose specialty is into bylaws of nonprofit organization to help us. There were 4 to 5 other lawyers on this group who wrote this bylaws. And they all been around Pacifica. They know the ins and outs. They've been around the block. They know the flaws that we have in this bylaws. So I want you to not conflate two things. Number one, there's bylaws. Number two, there are policies. Policies are not part of bylaws. Policies are policies. Election, it's policy. It's not bylaws, right? So if you let's say GM evaluation, you don't put that one in your bylaws to say GM evaluation. That's your policy.
30 okay. seconds.
Oh, thank you. So I can talk a little bit more about two things and I'll be done in 30 seconds. Number one, all this stuff that you know, GM evaluation will be there, ED evaluation would be there, CFO evaluation would be there. And the second thing is, I forgot. I'll come back to it if you give me 10 seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now do 250 for Mr. Reyes, or 230
for Grace.
And Michael Novak. And then Michael Novak. Okay. So for a total of 5 minutes speaking against the new proposed bylaws. So 2:30 for Ms. Aaron.
May I finish up my 10 seconds? Because I remember what it was.
10 seconds.
Go okay, thank it. You. Quick. All right. So we haven't eliminated any hardship for people. And the $25 to 50 and 3 hours to 15, those were set up in 1970s, the $25 membership. Every other foundation has $75 to $125 membership fee.
Thank you. 2 minutes and 30 seconds for Ms. Aaron.
Okay, can Michael go first?
I don't care who goes first.
I haven't gathered my thoughts.
That's okay. So the essence of these bylaws is that they eliminate the local station boards completely, and they eliminate all the duties of the local station board, which, as Mansoor indicated, include evaluation of the general manager locally, evaluation of the program director locally, evaluation of the budget locally. They eliminate essentially diversity on the national board. The specific bylaws are organized around the notion of single transferable vote, choice voting, to ensure that there's representation of various communities on the local station boards and on the national board. Electing a single person eliminates that possibility. The bylaws kind of slip in the idea that all current and former members of the board, including the board they would now be eliminating, would be indemnified by the foundation against any lawsuits for actions they took, which would be a huge insurance responsibility. The bylaws allow the 6 people who would be appointed essentially by this process, if it takes place, a period of 5 months during which they could amend the bylaws further in any way they chose without any further oversight or input from anyone else. So essentially, no matter what the purpose of these bylaws are, I don't want to go into any aspersions on anyone who put them forward. I believe they were put forward in good faith. But the impact is to destroy the essence of democracy at Pacifica and to destroy the possibility of local oversight over the operation of the station locally and to prevent, essentially, the listeners from having a say. The bylaws would also eliminate any staff representation on any of the boards. They would prevent any of the elected station directors from serving as either the chair or secretary of the national board, and they would allow a single member of the national board to serve as the treasurer, CFO, and numerous other positions. They would allow the board to, at will, remove the executive director or any other officer in a very brief process. They would not contribute to stability or to democracy or to the... They basically scapegoat the local boards for the financial problems that exist when the board's not responsible for them.
Thank you. Ms. Aaron?
Before you go, just if we can like not walk around, you know, it's kind of distracting. And just, let's just be respectful of people speaking and also safe. So I'm sorry.
Thank you, Paul. I agree with everything that Michael has said. I'd also like to say that this isn't the first time that there's been an effort to basically steal Pacifica. Most of the appointed...
Is your mic on? Is it on?
I don't think so. Is it on?
Tap it.
There. Yeah.
Just speak into the
Okay.
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 The directional mic.
All right. Our cronies... of the people who put forward the bylaws, that's Carol Spooner and Carol Travis mainly. Some of them are just friends of Carol Travis from Chicago. She's from Chicago. They don't even live in a Pacifica Signal area. Some of them, they're unknown to me for the most part. But at any rate, time and time again in the 60 or 70 year history of Pacifica, there's been an effort to radically eliminate democracy in Pacifica. I'd like to give you two quotes that pertain to this. One is from February 1999. Professors Noam Chomsky, Ed Herman, and Howard Zinn sent a letter to Mary Frances Berry, the Pacifica board chair at that time, stating, quote, "Apparent trends toward increased centralization of power and decision-making are bringing Pacifica closer to a corporate model, and they urge the board to make a firm commitment to democratic forms of governance and participation." Later that year, in October 1999, 16 of Pacifica's 60 affiliate stations stated, quote, "The Pacifica debacle is the single best example of the cancer that has been eating at non-commercial media for more than a decade. Disempowering communities in the name of professionalism, commercializing the airwaves in the guise of development, centralizing authority in the name of efficiency, and promoting high protection values at the expense of local color. I do not want a corporatized, centralized Pacifica. I want a community-based Pacifica that gives voice to those voices that are not heard, right in the Pacifica bylaws. As a borough president of Manhattan stated recently, this is an attempt to gentrify media, which is an ongoing attempt. So I say I'm heartily against this undemocratic bylaws amendments.
So what we're going to do is move into member comments where folks who have already spoken can feel free. So we're going to start out with 90 seconds, and then at some point we will reduce the speaking time to 60 seconds. So I see Bella, Lawrence, Polina. Mansoor, are you on that list? You'll wait?
I'll go second, Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. Anyone else want to get on the stack right now?
Point of order, aren't we going for and against?
No.
No, this is an open commentary right now.
Yeah. You want to be added to the stack?
Jan wants to be added.
Okay.
Are you?
No.
Yeah, so we got Ms. Bella,
we got you.
Ms. Lawrence, Ms. Paulina, Ms. Barbara, anybody else?
Jan.
Okay, cool.
And then me.
And then Mansoor. Okay, so we'll start with Bella, 90 seconds.
One thing that was mentioned is the evaluation process. When Mansoor addressed the differences between policy and bylaws, it is in our bylaws that subcommittees and committees subservient to the PNB must manage must oversee what goes on at the local stations. Whether we have fallen behind on our duty, that's another issue. But the bylaws are very, very specific. It is our duty. We have a fiduciary responsibility to those who elected us to represent the listeners here at this body, to do our job. Our job is to hold to account the management of the station, the programming, and else, because that's why we have the committees. That is a vital core value of our procedure and our work. With these bylaws restructuring proposals,
30 seconds.
None of that would exist. And right now, I am undergoing the evaluation of the GM, which was sidetracked by folks like Mansoor, may I say, because he was on the personnel committee, and now the personnel committee has been placed in a limbo state. So I say no, and preserve the mission statement right there in front of you. It's a glorious document, historic document, and there should be no profit by anyone at any given time.
Thank you.
Ms. Long?
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation. These bylaws are not a revision. These bylaws are a new animal. This is a complete usurping of what we have in place. The way they were proposed in the dead of night, behind the backs of the Pacifica board directors, Mansoor and his cohorts, filed a lawsuit in Alameda County Supreme Court in regards to trying to pass these bylaws. I was approached by Mansoor some time ago, asking me if I had any input. And after he asked me if I had any input, he went over to professionals to try to develop these bylaws. He went to a professor and he went to another corporatized person to try to corporatize our foundation.
30 seconds.
Thank you. Our foundation is made up of grassroots activists. It was a volunteer organization from the very beginning when Lou Hill founded it. And it was proposed in violation of the bylaws, in violation of the very bylaws that they wish to change, because there was no revisions, there was no strikeouts in the proposals, there was no redlining, nothing. This was done to usurp the Pacifica bylaws as we know it and the structure that we have and the democracy that we experience on a daily basis in our media. Thank you.
Ms. Paulina.
Thank you. A couple of points. So, first of all, a radio station that claims to be by and for the people shouldn't be operating without the input of the people. When the proponents of the bylaws, quote-unquote amendments, but really the revision of the bylaws, say that community advisory boards will serve that function. We know that in previous experience, what community advisory boards have been, they have been nominated pretty much, they've been populated by the friends of the general manager and the program director. They have not been a democratic enterprise at all. Now, this is important. I would like to explain to those of perhaps the people in members of the public who might not know, this petition was supposedly proposed by the public. It gathered signatures all around the country in the five listening areas. According to our bylaws, 1% of listener members can propose bylaws amendments. Did any of you, by any chance, sign this or participate or even draft this? I think that our listeners were duped into believing that less democracy is better because it's more efficient. And I would just reiterate the point that that's not the case. These dysfunctional boards, however dysfunctional they may have been from time to time, they have prevented us from becoming NPR light. Thank you.
Ms.
My concern, can you hear me?
Okay. Tap.
No, it's not blue.
Here, why don't
you use this one right there. My concern and the reason I'm understanding these bylaws have been put forward is because we have not been solvent. We have extreme, the national board, we have extreme financial difficulties across our stations. My understanding on why the suggestion for the board is the change in the bylaws, and yes, we all need to be heard, yes, we need to have the representation, but we need to be solvent as a network. This is such an important voice for us right now where we are, and we really need to have that go forward. I've been on many boards, and if a board is too big, it's very difficult to have to be functioning. If the board does not have adequate representation, then it can be just as it was described before in terms of not really representing the membership. I don't know why we have to have four people from each of the stations be part of a board. I would like to see representation, but in a way that we can be functioning so we can address these extreme financial issues that we place as a network. So that's my concern, and I don't know voting yes or no is going to address this, and how, with the executive directors, can we address our extreme financial concerns?
All right. Mr. Chair.
Chair, now do you put out the bottom of the stack?
Thank you. I oppose these bylaws, and we've had a lot of discussion about kind of generalities, but I want to be specific about the things that I oppose about these bylaws. One is that there are more at-large members on the national board under these bylaws than there are elected members, and I think that that is upside down. I think it's a good idea, perhaps, to have some at-large members, but they should not outnumber the elected members. I also see that there's no staff representative in these bylaws. And I believe that Pacifica was conceived as a joint project of both the staff and the listeners. And this cuts out the staff entirely. I believe that, I therefore believe that these are not the right bylaws to fix the problems of Pacifica, and we should vote no on these. On the other hand, I think that
30 seconds.
That it would be a good idea to address our bylaws and come up with some proposals that might help us move forward. But that is for hopefully this year and the future. But in the meantime, I suggest that we vote no on these bylaws.
Here, Lawrence.
Next one is Mysore.
Can you read the stack as it exists, Vice Chair?
This one's too short.
We have Mansour, Michael Novak, me, then Mr. Lawrence.
And you have the hours to recognize on that.
Sure.
May I ask, because I'm the only one that representing this, and there were two opposition to this. I'm asking the chair a question.
I know, but use the mic.
May I be recognized for 2 minutes rather than a minute and a half, because I'm the only one that representing this set of new bylaws?
In order to maintain
or
the fairness,
I can come back afterwards.
you can put yourself back on the bottom of the list as many times throughout the session.
Okay, so a couple of things. The notion of democracy is the democratic process that we use to elect our members' representatives. The business that we are in to run a radio station, a progressive radio station that serves a niche, this business is not with democracy. This business needs money, needs professional people to run it. Now, I'm not saying 100% of the people should be professional. All I'm saying is we need professional management. We need professional executive directors. The last two who they were, they got fired. Because, and I have said this to the National Board, National Board hates and loathes professional people. Okay? So the second thing, the code that was read about by Noam Chomsky, That was for the prior to 2002 bylaws that we had that had no representative from the station. So it was prior to the new bylaws. Has nothing to do. Noam Chomsky didn't write a code to whether approve or not approve the new bylaws that we are using from 2003. And I really would like to encourage you. There are professional people sitting here. Jan's a professional lawyer. James a professional lawyer. Eric's a lawyer. He's professional. You are a lawyer, and you are professional.
Some might say professional.
So what's wrong with having a professional manager and professional radio host? You're convoluting the issues.
Thank you.
Mr. Michael Novak?
I'll wait to let the people that haven't spoken yet speak.
Okay. Well, I'm next in the staff. I just wanted to thank... let me start the timer again. I want to thank Ms. Bella for putting the Pacifica Foundation mission statement up there. It's important to know why we're here and what this is about. So for my next minute and 30 seconds, I'm going to read that. The Pacifica Mission Foundation mission statement, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestra groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations. That's fine. But yeah, check that out. It's online.
Beautiful.
It's also in the bylaws.
It was apparently some people didn't read.
Okay. Thank
you. Mr. Lawrence is a...
First three paragraphs.
Someone's over here.
I'd rather go after somebody who hasn't spoken.
All right. Mr. Eric James.
Who hasn't said anything to say, chime in.
I circulated an email, so I'll be brief. I mentioned that dates back about a decade, and what occurred about a decade ago is that some individuals surrounding the sister station KPFA in Berkeley decided that they simply couldn't tolerate any longer being part of the five station, five cities, one network, Pacifica, as we know it, and they wanted to secede. And I have... just Googled the open letter Carol Spooner wrote. you can see the title, Carol Spooner, Time for an Amicable Divorce at Pacifica, She added a question mark. Open letter to the PMB, 5 August 2012. And in her first line, you can Google it, she says, these have been my thoughts for about 3 years. So what has happened in that interim is they've tried to drive Pacifica into bankruptcy intentionally to effect their crazy secessionist ideas. Pacifica, you know, was established by Mr. Hill, has been mentioned, and it acquired five stations over the years. And there's no, as far as I'm concerned, I take Abe Lincoln's position about the states. There is no secession. You can't do it. You're in. And you make it work. And if you can't get along, and it's too taxing to, you know, go through the processes of democratic governance, then don't participate. And anybody who comes on this board and says we should abolish the very board you sought to be elected to doesn't make any sense to me. And we've had that just happen, at least in one instance in this just past election, which brought us all here. I urge it. An unequivocal and resounding, hopefully near unanimous, no vote on these bylaws.
Thank you.
We are halfway into our discussion by the members, just to flag that, and we have several people who still want to speak. Does anyone want to be added?
Yes.
And Fred?
There are plenty of things wrong with the bylaws that we have, and I think they do need adjustment from time to time and improvement. There are some things in them that really hurt me. The bylaws themselves realize they may need improvement from time to time, and they provide a committee for that purpose. It is called the Governance Committee.
Correct.
For some reason, the Governance Committee has abandoned that objective, and it devotes itself instead to setting up the agenda for the local station board, which is perfectly ridiculous. We can set our own agenda. We don't need somebody to dictate to us what we can think about and what we can't think about. So I suggest that our governance committee be directed to consider improvements to the bylaws and stop trying to provide an agenda for us.
Mr. Britt.
I don't have a mic.
Is that one working?
Yeah.
We got one.
Oh, here, there's one over here.
Okay.
I'll make this short and sweet. I'm really disappointed with you men, sir. All your arguments are basically bullshit. I'm not even gonna give them the honor of talking about them. Basically, this is a basic power play to take over Pacifica by known people out of Berkeley. They've been trying to do this since the Democratic governance was set up in 2003. I'm basically going to vote very definitely against these new bylaws, and I hope other people here will take that to heart and do the same. In any case, thank you.
Just to clarify for those of you who are not sure what the process is for these, the membership will most likely get ballots, right? So listeners and staff will receive ballots. Since our last elections were pretty fraught with all sorts of problems, lots of people complained, right, that they didn't get their ballot. So the same folks who got their ballots and were able to vote in the last election of this board will also be most likely getting ballots, referendum ballots, right? Do you vote yes or no on these revisions of the bylaws? So please let your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues know what's going on, so that they will not be fooled by we're making this Pacifica survive, be more efficient, right? So don't let your friends fall into the propaganda. Let them know what's going on, and let them know if they by any chance get a ballot to vote up or down, yes or no on these proposals, vote no.
Seconds.
Thank you.
Well said.
Yeah, straight down the line. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I appreciate what Eric read in regards to the that letter to the PNB by Carol Spooner. KPFA has still been trying to secede from this foundation. They created a foundation called the Pacifica, KPFA Foundation, to usurp themselves and extract themselves away from the foundation. There was money that was in the kitty. That's why they created this KPFA Foundation. It's not new news that Pacifica has always been in struggle. It has been in struggle. It's a political counter-propagandistic media outlet for those who propagandize against democracy.
30 seconds.
And these new proposals Exactly that. Mansoor always talks about professional. I'm a professional. I have a professional job. I work 40 hours a week, 80 hours every 2 weeks in order to get a paycheck. That's a job. That's a professional job. And I appreciate what I do. And I work with people. So this whole idea that Howard Zinn and
Noam Chomsky
trigger, if I could just sum up, trigger this the whole new 1999 during the first usurping, triggered the whole new bylaws and these bylaws that we have now. So it's really disingenuous to even try to ally yourself, Mansoor, with Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to say that I share Barbara's concern about the financial straits that the foundation finds itself in, but I think that what's happening here is that Democratic governance is being scapegoated for that, and that somehow that would be solved by eliminating Democratic governance when none of this speaks to the actual solution, which is having programming that listeners want to support. So I think that this is a classic example of disaster capitalism. In which there's a financial crisis or a material crisis or an environmental crisis, and it's used as a pretext for privatization and the hollowing out of democracy, and I don't think we should fall for it here. I want to introduce a motion to take up after you take the vote on this, which is that the local station board urge the listeners to vote no on these bylaws, and that we urge the foundation to establish a process for educating the listeners on air about what the content of the bylaws is, so that people can make an informed vote on it.
Second.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Grayson?
Yeah, I think that's a good motion. I think, first of all, Alex Steinberg, the pro tem chair of the National Board, made a very strong statement against these bylaws amendments. That was approved by 13 members, signed on to by 13 members of the PNB. It's at Pacifica.org. Another thing is regarding the financial situation Pacifica is facing. Let's look at the larger context. I sent an email to all of you last night. Progressive Press is facing mass extinction. We're now in the process of a paradigm shift in media all across the world. That's probably the biggest shift in media of the last 100 years at least. There's a meltdown of a media in general, and the outlets that are failing and going extinct are all presided over by professional appointed boards. I'm talking about Air America, Current TV, Deadspin, Splinter, and Think Progress are gone.
Vice.
We are unique. Vice. Many outlets are just completely non-existent. In comparison, we look pretty good. We need to fix our finances, that's true, but we've got to look at it in the context of the larger sphere. We are not in bad shape in comparison. We're in terrible shape, but not in comparison to other progressive media.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you're saying, Michael, about the finance, skinning the democracy of the board. My concern about the financials is we don't, in the many of the local stations do not have a basic bookkeeping financial person there that's actually recording what comes in, doing cost and analysis, profit and loss statements. There's not a bookkeeper at these stations. So back to the National Board, what this has been going on for many years, why can we not do this? Why is the board not addressing this? So that we at least know what our framework is and have a stable business operation so we can go after people that can give us grants and foundations and support. But nobody is going to do that if we can't demonstrate basic financial profit and loss and business operating procedures. That's my concern. And I don't know why
the board has not been able to do this, and I don't know what we need to do to make this happen.
You go now.
I'll make mine real quick.
I am also a professional person. I have been a full-charge bookkeeper for many years, an expert with QuickBooks. I am on the finance committee, but I entered this body in March this past year. But I have always been a member of the finance committee, except for a couple of years. That's another story. We have an extreme high salary that nobody wants to touch. The GM is getting ready to renew contracts. That should be not done. We have got to trim down the huge salary costs that we have so that we can have the cash flow necessary to cover our monthly accounts payable. I have been bringing this up. I will continue to bring this up, and I begin entering all this information on QuickBooks so that we can get quicker financial reporting. The thing is, whoever authorized exporting our documentation, financial matter, to a company named NETA, N-E-T-A, so far away, should be put in jail. We need to bring back all our financial matters locally and then do the right thing. There's a motion right now floating from the Finance Committee, because it is in our policies that monthly financial reporting needs to be submitted to the Finance Committee by management. And this is the reason why evaluation right now is so critical. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir.
Okay, so this would be my last comment, and I won't say anything more. Regarding professional people, so those six at large, one of them is the chief editor of Progressive Magazine. The other professional person that we have nominated to serve on the board is one of the union leaders, ex-union leader, who is well respected and regarded in progressive community. So when I'm talking about having professional people on national board, these are not like strangers, corporate lawyers or anything like that. These are people who have paid their dues in this society to have a name recognition to what they do. And that's what the professionals they are. Once the first cycle is done, they're going to have to be vetted, as we vetted these people, to be on the board. So it's none of these things, made-up stories, lies, are really part of the new bylaws. What the new bylaws are doing, trying to give a direction to the foundation to save it from its demise, which is dysfunctional boards on a local level and on the national level. More details if you want to talk with me. Thank you.
We have 2 minutes left for this section, so we could take one or two more comments, and then we will move into public comment. Correct.
All orders of the day. There's nobody else that wants a comment.
I want
to. Grace has her hand up. Ms. Aaron.
Okay, addressing the financial issues. When Lawrence and I, Lawrence was the IED for a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks. I was the secretary. We had a management team. We spearheaded an effort to deal with the financial lack of reporting from NETA. And we've been working on it. Lydia, we have a management team. The national board voted to have the officers and the interim executive director form a management team. We are on this. We hired a consultant to fix some erroneous information that two national board members, myself and Eileen Rosen, the chair of the audit committee, found in a P&L statement that NETA sent us. And we demanded supporting documentation. We found a lot of things that need to be corrected, and we're getting them corrected at high speed. We put in scores of hours to do this. The 2018 audit is scheduled to be done by the end of the month.
Final, and then we'll move into public comment.
Thank you. The example that Grace just gave is perfect to show how if we didn't have a local station board and local members to do this kind of supervision, we would not be in a better shape. We would probably be failing completely, just like the other media outlets that were flying high for a second and then fell and disappeared into the ether. So we hired NETA to solve our problems. Then all of a sudden we find issues, right, and errors. This is normal, and this is where a media outlet like ours that relies on volunteers for most of its content, right, and as well for many tasks that need to be done on a daily basis. I think it's we just need to keep working on transparency. Transparency is what's been missing. And I think we're all realizing that we need more transparency, not less, more democracy, not less. Thank you.
Thank you. That will close the member comment. And we will move into 20 minutes of public comment, noting that we have extended this public comment or condensed it ahead of the bylaws vote, specifically due to the importance of this issue. So I have a chair's request that we attempt to keep our public comments focused on this issue. However, I understand that public comment is open for comment on anything. So let's proceed with public comment, and we'll do 90 seconds.
Okay, so first of all, I want to thank all of you for serving. And I find myself agreeing with many people I often disagree with and disagreeing with the people I often agree with. But I think that Jan's comments about the bylaws best reflect my own views, which is that the bylaws do need to be improved, but I don't think that this is the improvement that we should go with. So I would urge you to vote no on this particular set of bylaws amendments. And just as a nitpick that if those of you who have seen me do it, we are a board, or you are a board for a radio station, and I would really appreciate it if you would be mindful of the fact that a mic stand, when it is put down on the table, makes a big sound, etc. So please improve those of you. Sorry, Pauline, I didn't, but it's an ongoing issue for me. But I would I commend those of you who have become adept at your microphone skills, and I would urge those of you who have not yet mastered the microphone to please think in terms that the mic's loud and we're speaking to close to it, whatever. I think I made my point. And my second public service announcement is that there is no recycling in this Peace Center, and so if you have recycled items, please take them with you and recycle them at home. If you have compostable items, please take them with you and compost them at home. Otherwise, they're going in a landfill, and we've got too much stuff in the landfill that shouldn't be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
The issue of professionalism reminds us of the Healthy Station Project, pushed down the throats of people and communities, radio stations around the world, by the Central Intelligence Agency. How would Noam Chomsky have any reference to what was going on in the Pacifica in 1999? Because he probably knew that Bill Clinton took Robert Kurland out of Jose Marti Television out of Miami and injected at the CPB to run Pacifica. We're talking about Robert Kurland, the propagandist for the CIA. Now, when we had that problem with the CIA and Bill Clinton, it's when the Clintons were in charge of Pacifica. Now, if you have trouble with too much democracy, or too much discussion, too much debate, too much criticism, I suggest you just move on to another place where they have a monarchy. Finally, if you don't want to face the fate of Air America, I clearly, wholeheartedly recommend that you become familiar with Extinction Rebellion and do partnering with other progressive media outlets, and be relevant, for God's sake. Be relevant. Do broadcast what's the subject, the struggle of the day.
Yes.
Lydia Ponce, Venice, California. This is feeling really familiar in regards to watering down the strength of who we are, looking around at a completely different negotiable conversation that I attended 3 months ago. It's completely different, and I thank Michelle and I thank all of you to try and listen to each other with the respect that you have, that you come with. That's the intention, right? And I think that you've said something quite simply as the answer to having somebody appoint somebody as a bookkeeper, and that you actually hire that person, and that Bella's work on the finance committee be upheld, and that should be the first part of this agenda, the next agenda, because otherwise we're reinventing the same thing. Venice Neighborhood Council watered down and changed the definition of a stakeholder. Mm-hmm. It took over 750 votes that they had people come in, customers from local restaurants and stores, to vote for the council that they wanted, who better gentrified the whole area of 3 miles where I live. It hyper-accelerated displacement of people, of aunties and grandmas being coerced and bullied to sell their properties. That's what we're talking about right here, right now. Do not water down the power that you have now. Take a serious look at it and have your amendments made to the power of the people and to support this mission statement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack Neff, member sponsor. I wholeheartedly support the previous speaker's idea that the LSP take a look at the power you're holding right now and hold on to it. Don't cede it. As the proposed bylaws have, I was expecting some more resistance from the board, but I'm encouraged by those of you who are courageous enough to speak out against this outrageous plan. I just want to draw your attention for a moment to the specifics of how this power shift in this document, which actually represents more of a negotiation document from one side of one interest putting forward. Under Article 6, Board of Directors, General Powers and Duties, the board envisioned by this document would just by fiat, the executive director shall be president and CEO of the foundation. Mm-hmm. So this is a person who is hired by the PNB, and the PNB then just makes that person president and CEO by adopting this document. I found that terrible, frightening, given that KPFK is currently accessible and that LSB meetings are now open and largely understood.
Time. Yep. Thank you.
Hi, Janine Roan. I'm secretary, but I'm speaking as a member. I attended the finance meeting in this last week, and I can understand the concern that about the finances and that it's not moving forward, and that along with typing up on Yale's report from our last meeting, you know, it's very much like this audit has put them on a hold for really being able to be accountable for what's been going on even in 2019. And the idea that we would have a bookkeeper could be once a month, one day, $500. We're spending $27,000 on administrative costs for the station. It's one of those things where you spend money to be able to save money. And I think that I strongly suggest that the board, in whatever manner they can, have the finance company meet with Danielle, not the business manager, in order to facilitate somebody coming in on a monthly basis to provide the reports that are needed. Because even the reports from 2019, not the P&L, that seems to be all that they're giving. I'm talking about an AP aging report, everything that they're supposed to be reporting, and they're getting away with not reporting because there's this audit going on. So they're able to shelve it, and in theory, it's their responsibility to give these reports. So anyway, I just want to urge the board to put something in motion this meeting where the finance committee can meet with Anyal and urge him for a bookkeeper. Thank you.
Hi, Angelina Carrasco, our listener sponsor. I just wanted to urge you to vote no, because this appears to me that it's going to be a destruction, the beginning of the destruction of the Pacifica Foundation and all the mission statement. and eventually all the programming that we so much cherish. So I urge you to vote no, please.
What's this about bookkeeper? We have a business.
Okay. Is there any more public comment?
Any time left?
We do have time left.
Can we add whatever leftover time there is from this to the next public comment?
As someone who has spent over 40 years serving this institution,
Fernando, introduce yourself to some people who don't know you.
My name is Fernando Velasquez. I can proudly say I spent 6 months with brain pains in my brain, night and day, because I put out the fire that could have destroyed KPFK's building. With over 40 years serving this institution, I can assure you, since the moment I arrived, I noticed that the national board members, they see themselves traditionally as a bourgeoisie. The local pay staff members, they see themselves as a petty bourgeoisie. And the rest of us, over 80% of us who do the labor and don't get any money, we are the working class, the proletariat. And have come to that realization that this is how it is because this is the headquarters of capitalism, and yet I had to learn how to live with it, or as Dick Gregory said, I will not love it until it becomes lovable, and I will not leave it until I change it. So I suggest, I beg you, say no.
Thank you.
I heard so much that I want to get lost in like what I can't say, because I can't cover it. These bylaws amendments, if on the local level, for these one person from the local level, if the station doesn't make quorum, then there will be no local representation on the national board. Now, I've been around for a while. If Jan Goodman doesn't send out emails, there is no election. It does not make quorum. Okay? So that's one person who recommends somebody or not will determine whether this station has a representative on the board. This is true, Jan.
Oh, I'm.
I mean, and it's true. We did not make quorum in 2012. You weren't involved. End of story.
Yeah. I think I sent stuff out. But
not like you do when you're have something at stake.
Yeah, right.
You got seconded.
Anyways, so that means there will be no representation on the board. All you will have are six of these hand-picked people. That means they can change the bylaws, these hand-picked people, by certain people in Berkeley, with four votes. Two-thirds of the board can change the bylaws with merely a month notice. Hey, we're changing the bylaws next month. End of story. There's plenty wrong with these bylaws, plenty wrong with these boards, but this is not a solution. And these handpicked people are inadequate. They're not professionals. They're professionals in their other careers, and they all have full-time jobs. They know nothing about what Pacifica needs.
We will be voting.
Well
said. Thank you for the public comment.
Thank you.
I hate to cut off anybody's legitimate comments. That deserve to stand on their own. And so if we can all respect the time, it will make it easier for your comments to stand on their own rather than be distracted by the time calling. And so we have one motion, and I would like to entertain a motion. But first we will do the vote on the bylaws. And so in order to conduct the vote, we have Ken, did you want to be recognized?
No, saying check if there's any, I don't know.
Is it roll call?
I forget what I said.
I appreciate the roll call.
Roll call vote.
Okie doke. We can go ahead and facilitate that. And so the statement for the vote on the table, do we have that?
The statement for the vote on the table?
The motion.
The motion.
The motion.
The motion.
The motion to accept the...
The motion to whether or not this body will endorse the new proposed bylaws that will replace the previous bylaws as they exist now.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So a no vote is not change?
Yeah.
Correct. And a new yes vote would be endorsing the adoption of the new proposed bylaws.
Point of information?
Mm-hmm.
I believe there was also a motion to indicate with our vote that we urge listeners to vote no on these.
Correct.
Does that come after, or is that a separate motion?
Yes.
That will come after. I do have it notated. So in the event that this body votes the bylaws down, then we will go ahead and entertain the motion and move forward with urging listeners to vote no as well. If that's the case, if that's the preference of the body.
To educate.
Yes. And I will also, if anybody would like to, after we take the vote, I will entertain a motion regarding Janine's public comment, asking for the Finance Committee to meet with Anyel and the business manager in order to discuss the hiring of a monthly bookkeeper.
Second.
Well, I haven't made the motion. Someone would have to make the motion, and then we will second it. But thank you, Bella, for your enthusiasm. So let's move into the vote. We'll do a roll call vote, and so,
great.
Do you want to go ahead and facilitate that?
Okay. Roll call vote. Grace Aaron?
No.
Grace Aaron, no. Ken Aaron?
No.
Shh, please.
Ken Aaron, no. Michael Adler?
No.
Michael Adler, no. Alan Beek?
No.
Alan Beek, no. Fred Blair?
No.
Fred Blair, no. Jeanette Charles?
Jeanette, how do you vote?
No.
Thank you.
Jeanette Charles, no. Sandy Childs?
Yes.
Sandy Childs, yes.
Okay.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
Bella DeSoto, no. Jan Goodman?
No.
Jan Goodman, no. Eric C. Jacobson?
No.
Eric C. Jacobson, no. Avelia Jones?
No.
Avelia Jones, no. Ali Lexa? Ali Lexa, no. Barbara Marbuck?
No.
Barbara Marbuck, no. Michelle Manos?
No.
Michelle Manos, no. Michael Novick?
No.
Michael Novick, no. James Osborne?
No.
James Osborne, no. Nancy Perlman?
No.
Nancy Perlman, no. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
No. Lawrence Reyes, no. Paul Roberson?
No.
Paul Roberson, no. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Mansoor Sabah, yes. Oscar is
Ulloa.
Ulloa.
No L sound.
Ulloa. Got it.
Yeah. No.
No. Oscar Ulloa. No. Polina Vasiliev.
Yes.
No. Polina. No. Beth Van Guten.
No.
Beth Van Guten. No. And Kiana Williams. Kiana Williams, yes. So we have 3 yes and 21 no's.
How many no's?
21. 24 altogether.
Thank you. So this body has not voted to endorse itself out of existence. And I thank you all for your votes. Some with emphasis and flair and creativity, so thank you. And so we have a motion on the table to, we're going to break between when we assemble for delegates. So a motion to urge the listeners to vote no, and to educate them about the bylaws options. Do we have, so who was that motion from? You, Michael?
The second part was the...
Yes, please, state.
Second part was to urge the foundation to set up a process for on-air education of the listeners.
Excellent. Thank you for the clarification. Do we have a second?
Second.
Bella recognized?
Yes. I was about to go over the second part, which we have not heard anything. Of course, we were waiting for the pending vote here, but we have heard nothing. Keep getting emails from listeners, nothing on the air to educate them as to what's going on. And so this has got to be undertaken immediately. And well-versed language, and clearly to educate the public.
public and how we voted, because two other stations have already voted no and one abstained. So we are the fourth, and
there were three.
PFW will be voting in the next few days.
No, KPFT.
KPFT, rather.
Not a clear motion.
Okay, so Michael, can you please restate your motion in completion?
Yeah, my motion was that the LSB urge the listeners to vote no, recommend the listeners vote no, and that we urge the foundation to adopt a process of on-air education for the listeners so they can cast an informed vote on the bylaws amendment.
So I have a point of information I'm going to recognize myself. Can someone explain or undertake the explanation of the process by which we would then educate the voters, the listener members? Just 30 seconds, if you can.
I don't want to go a lot into detail, but there are proposals to have on-air forum representing both sides that would be aired, as well as carts that would run periodically explaining what the vote is about. I think at this point it's up to the PMB to put something into effect that would cover all five stations.
We have a second for the motion. Are there any objections?
Amendment?
No, I'd like to be recognized.
Okay, so Lawrence, and then Beth, and then Mansoor.
So if I was to be returned to the PMB this year, I would take this motion to the PMB for implementation by the IED, and I hope that Grace will support that as well. She is also elected, and whoever else is elected.
Thank you. Ms. Von
Guten. I would hope that any effort to educate the listeners, thank you. I would hope that any effort to educate the listeners would also inform them as to what this vote was and why. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Sabah.
Yeah. Okay, so if we're going to have educational panel discussion on the on the radio, I don't think it'll be appropriate for us to say that I urge you to vote no while we're having this panel discussion. Have the panel discussion on the air, and the panelists can express their feelings and thoughts, whether to be supported or not to be supported, but to demand the radio station to say, we urge our membership to say no, that's nobody upper-handed.
Well, that's why there's two-sided, Mansoor.
Yeah, but we say...
Two separate things. One is that we urge the listeners to vote, but the other is that we urge the foundation to set up an education process on air. The education process would have all points of view expressed.
Yeah. So that's two different things.
Okay. Ms. DeSoto?
Yes. There's a length of time before tabulation of responses for the no or yes vote. But as Michael said, this is a two-pronged situation. The communications committee at the PMB would be in charge with putting together the proper language. However, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to indicate to our jurisdiction map area, signal area, how we voted and how we instruct them to vote. And that's critical.
Thank you.
And that must be part of that.
Ms. Marba?
My comment was similar to that, but not really. My comment was that to inform the listeners that we as a local station board voted no. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we can, we're almost there, okay. And I don't know if we can actually tell the listeners how to vote, but I think we can inform them that we voted no.
Right. To educate.
Mr. Beek?
I think it is inappropriate for us, the existing establishment, to launch a propaganda campaign against changes in our structure. How would we feel if the federal government started spending our tax money on supporting the present administration? That would be unfair. I think it is inappropriate and unfair for us to do anything like that.
Can we divide the motion then?
Into two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to propose an amendment.
Did we have an amendment over here?
Any effort to educate the voters would include the information that this board voted as it did and why.
Okay, and then
as a recommendation.
And then Jim, and then Paulina.
Michael, would you consider amending your motion? I do agree with Barbara. I think we should, you know, respect the listeners. It's been a very educational process here, I think, for me and for everybody, you know, to listen to the debate. And if we're going to have a debate on the radio station, I think it is appropriate for the listeners to know how their representatives voted, but at the same time, to respect them and not dictate to our listeners what position they should take. All of these people here are very intelligent and sophisticated, so I'd ask you to consider revising that.
Michael, would you like to respond before we go to Paulina, or should we hear Paulina first?
Well, what I'm saying, I guess, is I divide the motion. Personally, I think that we should urge the listeners to vote no. If people don't think so, then vote that part of it down and just have the educational part. It's fine with me. Go away.
Thank you, Paulina.
Thank you. I suggest we follow the model of the PNB, where once the national board voted yes in order to allow for all of us to vote one way or the other, they published the roll call votes on the Pacifica.org website, indicating how each member, how each director voted. I think we should publish simply our vote and then say that perhaps a no vote indicates we urge our listeners to do the same. And if a yes vote would indicate we don't urge our listeners to do the same. So make it individual. Publish the names of the way we voted today. Thank you.
Would I be recommended?
Yes, please.
Is there any, does anybody have access to the current bylaws provisions as to how this sort of bylaws amendment is to be administered by the PNB?
So this is technically not an amendment. It is a removal of the current bylaws, and they would be replaced only with the text that you have in front of you in the packet of 19 pages. The current bylaws are 51 pages long. Yep. All of that would be erased, and we would have only the bylaws. So it's not an amendment. It's a different process.
It's not my question. My question is, this came about, in my view, my subjective view, I think I haven't disguised, I don't regard it as legitimate, but I assume that the proponents, it took some care to follow the letter of the procedural imperatives in the current bylaws in relation to this whole initiative. So my question was more specific. What, if anything, do the current bylaws say about what is to occur, for example, with regard to publicity about the process in advance of this membership vote, which the court has, I believe, ordered to occur? But is there some specific provisions in the bylaws that mandate a certain informational thing and its nature and so on?
So let's do, hold on one second. I see a lot of hands. So
I can respond to that with a quote from the bylaws. If
I can respond.
I would like to take a stack for 30 seconds each. And so we'll go Grace.
My question is in the bylaws. If you want, were you just going to start on page 42 of the bylaws where it talks about amendments of articles of incorporation and bylaws?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw Grace's hand for that.
I have a point of order, which I think needs to be heard before
Mr. Reyes.
So these proposals were submitted purposely without delineating what was going to be changed, what was going to be stricken from the bylaws. So that's how deceptive it was. So I just, and then you could go on to read the bylaws, but I mean, I just wanted to make that delineation in regards to how that was done.
Thank you. So Grace and then Mansoor, and who else wanted to respond? Okay, so we'll hear Grace and Mansoor for 30 seconds each, and then we will restate the motions. I think we've broken it into two, and we'll move forward from there. So please let's respect just Grace and then Mansoor, and then we're going to restate the motions.
Okay, this is from Article 17 of the current bylaws. It says, on the notice date, the proposed amendments to the bylaws shall be posted on the Foundation's website, and the Foundation's radio stations shall broadcast an announcement three times a day, twice between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m., and once between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. for a period of 45 days, which is the notice period, regarding the existence of the proposed amendments on the Foundation's website for review and the upcoming vote by the board and delegates regarding said amendments. That's basically it.
Thank you. Mansoor?
That was it.
That's it. Okay, so we have two motions on the table. Janine, can you read the two motions as we have them at this time?
Well, I've got one that the LSB publish and announce to the listeners of the board's vote of no, and then I put in 21-3 with the mention of the specific link. We didn't bring this up, but...
I'm sorry,
that
point of order?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the proposed substitute. The original motion had two parts. It was to urge, that the localization board urge the listeners to vote no. And the second was that we urge the foundation to establish a process of on-air education for the listeners so they can have an informed vote.
From both sides.
Yeah.
It sounds like we are already required to have a certain amount of education based on the section that Grace just read. So you're talking about having a forum?
Yes. What I'm saying is that what Grace described should have happened already regarding what we just did. There's nothing in the bylaws about what happens when it goes to a membership vote.
Got it.
Yeah.
And even if there were, we should still require on-air discussion and education about it, not just announcements that it's available on the website to look at.
So motion number two is an attempt to rectify the fact that this process did not inform the listeners at the proper time,
no,
according to the bylaws. Paulina, and then Ken, and then Eric.
This motion is to urge the BNB to establish some kind of a process, right? To inform listeners about how this works. For instance, I'm sure few here know that in order to for these bylaws to be approved, it just needs to go to a membership vote and get 10% of the vote, but it's on a national level. So, for instance, if people in Berkeley all go out and, you know, and have a party and then vote and they have enough, that's 10% of the full national membership, then even all of us, you, and myself, vote no, this is still going to be approved.
That's correct.
So is it as simple as...
It's national.
So,
urge the national board to inform, to have, to establish a procedure, the best way, right? The best way to get everybody to find out what's going on.
Okay, so let's...
How are they going to do it?
We have the first motion is to urge the listeners to vote no as an official, you know, position of the board. And so is there a second to that motion?
I have a friendly amendment.
Second motion.
Seconded.
Can I get a friendly... Would you consider a friendly amendment? My friendly amendment proposal would be that it further include a summary statement of reasons as to why we urge a no vote and include it with the recommendation.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, do we have any objections to urging the listeners to vote no, including reasons why?
Yes.
Objection?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Hi, Jack.
So two objections. Objection?
No, same thing.
Okay, so our three yes votes object to urging the listeners to vote no. And so that moves to a vote, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. May I explain why?
No.
Is it necessary to explain why?
He explained why, and I would like to explain my reasoning.
30 seconds?
Sure. So there is no need to tell the voters how to vote, as James says. Don't insult their intelligence. Just say that we, as a body, voted it down, and here's our reasons, and that's it.
So I would encourage Mansoor to vote no.
Oh, I am.
Lovely. Okay, so...
urge the listeners to vote no on the bylaws amendment.
Last comment from Paulina.
The reason for proposing this, to urge the listeners to vote no, is that it ensures that we actually communicate with our listeners. This is our statement that we want to communicate something. It's not to force. It's to say we need to establish ways of communicating this to our listeners that we want them to realize why their democracy is being stolen. Thank you.
Okay. Given that we are running nearly an hour over because we had so much contention around some certain issues in the beginning, I do want to move on. So we're going to go ahead and vote on the first motion, whether or not we will officially urge listeners to vote no and give reasons. So a yes vote means that we will publicly take a position and that we will make these urges. And a no vote means that we will not publicly take a position. However, there is still the opportunity to do on-air education about the way this body voted and what is in front of the listener members. Correct?
No.
Yes.
What did I get wrong, Mansoor?
What I would like to eliminate, to urge the listeners to vote no. That's it. The rest of it is cool. You can say the LSB voted down.
Okay.
And these are our reasons. You can post it on the website.
So that's what I just said. So we're going to move into the vote, please. In the interest of time, we have so much to get through still. I think we've talked this through, and we can move to a vote. So,
to urge or not to urge, or what is it?
Yes. Urge the listeners to vote no on the bylaws amendment and give reasons why.
That's right. What I so have. A yes vote means that we will take a position publicly and urge the listeners to vote no. A no vote means
with a statement of reasons. Mm-hmm.
With a statement of reasons, and a no vote means that we will not publicly take a position or urge the listeners.
No, it's just urge.
That we will not publicly urge the listeners to vote. How to vote. Correct.
We will still educate them.
We will
still educate
them.
And educate, including stating how we voted.
Right.
Yes. But not making not encouraging them.
Not a quote call to action.
Exactly. Yeah. Not encouraging them to vote one way or another. So
what if the friendly amendment of the language, rather than state that we encourage them to do or not do anything, what if we just state that we cannot recommend adopting these or that we recommend against adopting these?
No.
That's not sufficient?
So
I have to.
I hate it when I radio.
I have to make a statement.
Ken?
It's very important that this vote is going to go to the membership, that we encourage them to vote. No.
Thank you.
They can't just ignore it and fail to support it. If they don't show up, there's no vote. Berkeley will show up in mass. So they have to go vote and reject the amendment if that's our intent. So you have to advise them, please vote.
And why?
And why and how?
If you didn't get your ballot, get it.
So we're going to move to a roll call vote. Okay? So I'll ask the secretary to facilitate a roll call vote on just this first motion.
I still am not clear on the entire sentence. So
why don't you just take a voice vote?
No. Publicly encourage the members to vote and vote no on the bylaws amendment and give reasons why.
Correct.
Okay, great.
So let's go through the roll call.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Yes. Grace Aaron, yes. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Ken Aaron, yes. Michael Adler?
Yes.
Michael Adler, yes. Alan Beek?
No.
No. Alan Beek, no. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Fred Blair, yes. Jeanette Charles?
Yes.
Jeanette Charles, yes. Sandy Childs?
No.
Sandy Childs, no. Bella DeSoto?
No.
Bella DeSoto, no. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Bella DeSoto, yes. Jan Goodman?
I'm going to pass. I'm still
abstain, or do
she's
I?
She's passing.
Okay. Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson, yes. Avelia Jones? She was on the phone?
No, she was just getting it.
Oh.
You're too quiet. Yes.
Avelia Jones, yes. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Ali Lexa, abstain. Barbara Marbach?
Abstain.
Barbara Marbach, abstain. Michelle Manos?
Pass until the end.
Oh, yes. Michelle Manos, pass. Michael Novak?
Yes.
Michael Novak, yes. James Osborne?
No.
James Osborne, no. Nancy Perlman?
Yes.
Nancy Perlman, yes. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes, yes. Paul Roberson?
Yes.
Paul Roberson, yes. Mansoor Sabah?
No.
Mansoor Sabah, no.
As Oscar. Lawrence recommended.
Okay. Oscar
Yoa.
Yes, Oscar, I think.
Oscar.
Yes.
Oscar, yes. Polina Veselia?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. Polina, abstain. Beth Von Guten?
Yes.
Beth Von Guten, yes. Kiana Williams?
No.
Kiana Williams, no. We go back to Jane Goodman?
Abstain.
Jane Goodman, abstain. Michelle Manos?
Michelle is last.
I am last. I'm going to abstain.
I did not hear you.
Abstain.
So we have 14 yes, 15 no. I mean, sorry, 14 yes, 5 no, and 5 abstain for a total of 24.
14-5-5.
Motion carries.
Yes.
And so the second motion, Michael, can you restate second motion?
Jerry. We urge the DMV to set up the process of listener education on air so there can be an informed vote on the bylaws amendment.
Presented by both sides, right?
No.
Yeah, on air you would have both sides.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
So the motion is on the table. Is there a second?
Sure. I'll second that.
Mansoor will second. Eric is going to offer a friendly amendment.
Can I offer a friendly amendment? That we would you consider friendly the addition of the same language that we are just voted on to use in relation to our own members, to urge the DNB to do the same thing to the full membership?
As the membership.
The
PNB already voted.
The PNB voted provisionally, strategically, in order to, and then issued a companion statement indicating their their overwhelming majority of opposition to these bylaws. So what I'm asking, if you consider it friendly, to have what the PNB does reflect the content of that statement that they published to the world, at the same time they, quote, approve these bylaws in order to facilitate the LSB's weighing in.
I have a point of order, Chair, just real quick.
Mansoor.
There is no such thing as a friendly amendment. Michael's motion belongs to the floor, belongs to the body. So you need to make that amendment to the body, as far as I understand.
Yes. See, just the same amendment, just saying I'd like to make an amendment.
This is an amendment to the body.
It's friendly,
because I think this piece of it is just under process and not under education without regards to what your position was. I think the other thing is a different question that should be handled separately.
Mansoor, and then we'll move to vote.
Sure. So once you're on the air, even as an LSB representative, you can tell anybody and everybody on the air what to do and not to do. Just like when we have representatives from, let's say, presidential candidates or congressional candidates, I can be representing Maxine Water on the air, and I would urge people to vote for her to be elected. But as a host, I cannot do so.
Right.
So once you're on the air, you can tell the universe what to do and not to do if you want to, you know, flip them or whatever. But there is no need for amendment to educate people any further than this.
I guess I'd propose a substitute amendment that the PND utilize the same approach that would we just voted on here in relation to their outreach to the all of the city. I presume all of that the PNB has the ability to email every single member of all five stations and may do so in relation to this process.
All the five stations doing it, they're going to have debates and they're going to promote for listeners to go to the Pacifica website to see what's going on. So
just let's hold on. Can we end the crosstalk, please? So I think we're overcomplicating this part of it. What we are asking for, to my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the PMB issue guidelines to the stations on how to go about promoting the fact that this vote is happening and it will be placed in front of the listener membership.
Thank you, Jed, and that's well taken because there is no process, so we have to create that process.
There we go.
But it specifies that it's going to take place on air.
Okay. So we're going to move to, since we do have a motion and a second, we will move to a roll call vote.
Is there any opposition?
Is there
what are you going to do with Eric's? Did it die for lack of a second, or what's...
I second Eric's.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that your proposed amendment basically sort of expounded upon... the ways in which we would have that relationship with the PMB, right? Or take that direction from the PMB.
Can we have it read so we know what we're voting on?
Okay.
One at a time.
Urge the PNB.
Go ahead.
Urge the PNB to issue guidelines on how to inform the membership.
That's not mine.
That's Michael's.
And then I've got utilize the same PNB to utilize the same approach in relation to all Pacifica membership.
That we just voted on, namely that the no vote that they urged in their statement and the reasons were, which they've already actually done in that statement.
So are we putting the two things together in one motion?
No.
So it's a third motion.
Jan is recognized.
May I recommend that Eric Jacobson write down exactly what the motion is that he wants us to vote on, because I'm confused and I think Janine is confused. And so if we have whatever it is that he wants as the whole motion, including his amendment, that would be really helpful to all of us.
I'm not interfering.
I think he's agreeing it's not an amendment. It's going to come up separately.
Okay, would somebody write it down so that it can be read know what we're
is it a third motion?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's vote on Michael's motion.
The guidelines.
So, can you read it in its entirety, Janine?
To urge the PNB to issue guidelines on how to inform the membership.
Including on air.
Including on air announcements and content.
And how to inform the membership of their vote to the bylaws amendment.
No.
What are we informing them of?
No.
What are we
informing of?
The content of the bylaws amendment, including on air.
Okay.
It's not their position, but...
it's not about the position.
Is there any additional confusion before we vote?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's incomprehensible to me.
Well, point of information, could the secretary just read what we're voting on?
Okay, urge the PNB to issue guidelines on how to inform the membership as to the content of the bylaw amendment, including on air.
Well, could you read the last sentence loudly, please?
And the fact that they are being asked to vote.
Now, please don't chat amongst yourself. Use the mic. I can't.
Okay.
Some of us are deficient.
Okay. Urge the PNB. Urge the PNB. Urge the PNB to issue guidelines on how to inform the membership as to the content of the bylaw amendment, including on-air education. I added education because it said on-air.
That's correct. Including on-air education.
That's the motion.
That is the motion. We're going to take a vote. Okay? So let's go through.
Any objections?
I think it's deficient.
Just to do a voice vote.
Are there any objections?
Any objections?
Any objections?
is deficient.
Pardon me, is an objection is the thing on the floor right now.
Is there an objection to asking the PMB to issue guidelines about voter education?
No.
Okay. So is everyone, any objections to a roll call vote?
We don't need to.
Oh, it's unanimous. Okay, well then, good, excellent. Let's move on.
Please.
Whew. Do we have a third motion?
Yes, it would be to urge the PMB to encourage the membership.
Can you use the mic?
Motion would be to urge the PMB to encourage the membership to vote no on the bylaws amendment and include a statement of reasons why.
Didn't we do that?
No.
You want the... Can I ask a question? Is your motion for this local board to tell the PMB...
To recommend.
To do the same? Bird. What jurisdiction do we have?
Hold on.
Don't we elect representatives to the national board today to do exactly that? What's the purpose of an advisory opinion?
Can I respond to that?
Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Okay. Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, this, as far as I'm concerned, the stuff that comes up here, I would carry it there, whether I'm,
right.
You know, it's like, you're right, you put us
we
in
voted.
Place, and so we should
Tell
do,
them you're sitting
we should
here.
Do your bidding, yo.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so any objections?
Sure.
Okay, so...
Here's objection.
Mansoor,
and then...
Yes, James
and then
is...
Alan.
Okay, James is right. It's like... We're going to elect directors to go up on the board, and they can just bring up a thing over there. Everybody's here.
We
There's,
already have.
They would,
Bella, please.
A second.
Do you
it
mind?
It formalizes it, which is good.
Mr. Beek?
It would be appropriate for us to recommend that we fulfill our educational responsibility and teach the listeners what the amendment is, what the arguments are on each side, and what the action has been so far. And even to make clear to them the problem of the imbalance of more votes one place than another, so it's important for them to vote. It's okay to teach them it's important to vote, but I do not think it's our business to tell them anything that is anything that is biased about which way they should vote.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have to move on. So we're going to go ahead and vote on... Eric's motion, and so can you please one more time restate the wording of your motion?
Urge PMB to encourage the membership to vote no on the bylaws amendment and include a statement of reasons why.
Okay, let's go through the roll call. We have to vote. We have to move on.
Okay. Roll call. Grace Aaron.
Abstain.
Grace Aaron abstain. Ken Aaron.
Ken?
Oh, did you call me? I didn't
Ken,
see
Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Yes. Ken Aaron, yes.
I can hold it for you.
Michael Adler.
Yes.
Michael Adler, yes. Alan Beek.
No.
Alan Beek, no. Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Fred Blair abstain. Jeanette Charles. Jeanette Charles, yes. Sandy Childs?
Abstain.
Sandy Childs, abstain. Bella DeSoto?
Bella.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto, yes. Jan Goodman?
I agree with Bella, no.
Jan Goodman, no. Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson, yes. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Avelia Jones, yes. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Ali Lexa, abstain. Barbara Marbach?
No, it's not necessary.
Barbara Marbach, no. Michelle Manos?
She
do I vote?
She
oh, okay, I'm sorry. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Michael Novick, yes. James Osborne?
No.
James Osborne, no. Nancy Perlman?
Yes.
Nancy Perlman, yes. Lawrence Reyes? Lawrence?
Yes.
Yes.
Meditating on it.
Oh.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes, yes. Paul Roberson?
Yes.
Paul Roberson, yes. Mansoor Sabah?
No.
Mansoor Sabah, no. Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Oscar Ulloa, yes. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Polina Vasiliev, yes. Beth Van Gutten?
Abstain.
Beth Van Gutten, abstain. Kiana Williams?
No, my vote is no.
Kiana Williams, no. So we have 12 yeses. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Michelle Manos?
Abstain.
Abstain. Michelle Manos abstain. So we have 12 yeses, 6 noes, and 6 abstains for 24 votes.
So motion carries. And so then the directors will take this to the P&B, correct? Okay, or the new directors as we vote them in. Okay, last thing. Last thing before we take a break and we do the delegates assembly will be I would entertain a motion as discussed during Janine's public comment to ask the finance committee to meet with Aniel and the business manager in order to discuss hiring a monthly bookkeeper. Does anyone want to issue that motion?
Well, first of all, treasurer would like to make a comment. Since I am the chair of the Finance Committee, the Finance Committee did not pass this motion to hire a bookkeeper or to even discuss that with Aniel. I don't even remember discussing that.
This would be a motion to urge the Finance Committee.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Bella here. I am in the Finance Committee. It is the purview of the chair to adopt a motion as he or she sees fit, and this motion is worthy, and therefore I support it, and we have got to urge for this motion. So I urge everybody to vote on it. It's very critical.
May I?
So are you undertaking the motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Nope. The Finance Committee did not discuss this motion.
Okay, is there any objections?
Yes, Mansoor.
Mansoor and Jan?
Sure, I'm totally with Fred Blair on this. I'm with Fred on this. It has to come from
the mic isn't working, or you're not holding the person up or something.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm totally with Fred on this because it has to come from the Finance Committee, and he's the chair, for God's sake, you know, let him do his job.
Jan?
This is Grace. I have a motion to refer.
Okay.
To refer the motion. Yeah.
Refer the motion to the Finance Committee for review.
Second.
Any objections?
We'll take another minute.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and ask, seeing no objections, we're going to ask the Finance Committee to report back on this topic and undertake the motion during their next session. When does Finance Committee meet again?
Next month.
I believe it's the 12th of next month.
Okay, so anybody who has strong opinions about this, please attend that Finance Committee meeting. Ms. Van Gutten?
I have concerns that hiring and job creation is being handled on an ad hoc basis, and that we don't have a good overview or strategic plan about this, and that...
Or budget.
And that it shouldn't be left up to the management to decide on its own. That if there's a need felt for another position, he should bring forward a proposal to the board, and the board should be creating the job description and the scale, the range of salary and the requirements for the position, and within the context of overall staff, rather than just handling. It's come up at other times, and so before it comes up again, I just want to raise this issue that we need to be taking a more comprehensive view of what the consequences are for adding a position and which positions and which are most needed. And
so it's my understanding that this motion would not require anything. It would encourage and urge, and I do think that that is within the purview of the board. And so you're correct when you state that we don't have the power to hire at random or to insist on any kind of expansion of the staff. However, I do think that it is within our purview to request and urge and encourage when it comes to the relationship with the committees and the relationship with management. So,
I'm not objecting to this specific thing. I'm concerned. My concern is about the overall way the board and management together are handling creation of job positions on an ad hoc basis, routinely. And it's not systematic. It's not consistent with best management practices with boards, and we need to come up with some policies to deal with this before the next there will be another one soon if we don't, or we'll just find out that there's already been somebody hired for some position we didn't know existed.
But you're not against this.
I'm not against that. I'm raising this for future reference.
So Ken, and then we need to move on.
Sure. Yeah, I just make a fast comment. It's duly noted by all the members here, very virtuous and right, and we should do it in our next meeting. We have a big agenda to go here. Yes. I call orders of the day, please.
Final comment?
Oh, I defer to all
the members. Okay, excellent. So I would encourage this topic to be undertaken at the next Finance Committee meeting. Anybody who's interested in this topic should attend that meeting. And then we can, take it from the Finance Committee as it comes from them. Does that satisfy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, excellent. Any other issues before we adjourn?
Adjourn.
Okay, let's adjourn. Let's take.
Can I just say that we're not adjourning. We're continuing into the delegates assembly because if we adjourn.
We are adjourning the LSB and reconvening as the delegates.
Recessing.
Right? Okay. Okay. Let us enter a 5-minute recess.